Provide security podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's episode 154 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. My name is Martin Fisher. We're glad you could join us today. We're doing something we haven't done in a while. We are broadcasting an interview that we did with Rob Fuller, better known as Mubix, to a lot of us on the Twitters, where he has a conversation with me and Steve Reagan about open source architecture and just a lot of things. A really great conversation. Rob's a really smart guy. If you ever get a chance to sit down and talk to him, you really should take that opportunity. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into the interview where I've asked Rob, for the benefit of the two or three of y'all who may not know who he is, to go ahead and introduce himself. I'll be back after the interview's over, and we'll close out the evening. Thanks very much.
So I'm sure there's a lot more than two that don't know who I am. I'm Rob Fuller, also known as Mubix Online. Kind of do pen testy, red teamy stuff, and a billion and a half other projects my wife wished that I didn't. So why should people start listening right now? Mostly because I've kind of gone on the defensive when it comes to security and. Made the switch a little after I kind of had a heart-to-heart with how ShmooCon does things these days. And so I started with a talk at ShmooCon called Attacker Ghost Stories, where I talked about, you know, easier free defenses that from an attacker's mindset would just totally disrupt all the things that I want to do. And enterprises should do these things because they're free or really easy to implement. But the kind of thing that I wanted to talk to you about tonight was security architecture, actually.
Which is a topic near and dear to my heart. So say more words. What are you thinking of on architecture?
So how do I say this? So when a friend of mine who was trying to help with a CCDC team said, "Hey, Rob, you're on the red team. Can you give any suggestions on hardening guides for like how to harden our system?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. Hold on. Let me look around real quick." And I couldn't find anything. Like everyone that I talked to said, "Yeah, just go look at the NIST guidelines."
Yeah, and the CIS templates.
Yeah, which are horrible. Well, I mean, they're great if you want to read 4,000 pages and then figure out how to script it yourself.
Well, or you, for example, we use the CIS guidelines, modified CIS guidelines where I'm at, and they're great to pull the XML down and load into your scanner. But they're not so great for communicating to application teams necessarily. Here's what I'm about to do to you with all these settings.
Right. Or a small business, like how am I as a small business going to go, okay, these are the things that I need to do. These can be held off for a little bit. You know, like the guidelines are great, but they're really tough to get through. And I don't have a time as a small business owner, if I was, right, to go through these things.
No, I mean, small business owners are there to make money. And if small business owners focus on anything other than making money, they won't be small business owners for long.
Right.
It has been my experience with a lot of small business friends, especially, I mean, I got friends who own delis and pizza places. I mean, the typical things you see. And I guess for me, it's a rhetorical question, is why aren't things more secure out of the box? But that's a different show, right?
Right. So what I'm proposing is sort of a modification of that. So while there aren't very many good hardening standards out there, the big thing that I saw was I couldn't even find an open source or open document on how to architect things, like how to make even the where do I put my snort sensor? Where do I put my, like, you can cobble that together through classes or things that are online, but nothing that says this is, you know, this is the suggested way of putting a pop suite together. Some people call it that, or like, these are the things to put in that place. So what I'm kind of want your guys' feedback on is what do you think about having sort of a small, medium, and large, like enterprise level, you know, recommended like Visio diagram, basically. But instead of having it just be like, you know, IDS here, make suggestions on based on level of, you know, amount of money that a small, medium business would make, what those products would be. So like at small level, you'd have like Snort listed and, you know, all these other objects, all the other things listed under the IDS sensor.
Yeah. I love this idea, but part of me wonders, if you open source that, are you destroying the market space for small consultancies? You see, I mean, one of the things, for example, the large enterprise side, mm-hmm. I think that space is just, it's overwhelmed with consultants and books and all. Mm-hmm. For me, where my heart would be, and I'm not promising I would be involved in a project like this, but I probably would, would be toward the small to medium business, right? It's that, right. That group where, you know, it's a mom and pop shop where they've got a point of sale system, you know, they've got their other stuff and they want to do the right thing, but they can't afford to go to, you know, a Symantec or a McAfee or a whoever and go, I'm going to buy your whole security suite and install it and run it. And they may not even be able to afford, you know, going to something like a SecureWorks or a Solutionary, you know, as a managed services provider.
Oh, I think that even at an enterprise level, this could be like, if you've ever done pen testing, my God, has everyone done things all differently? So, like, if you look at the security architecture of business to business to business, even at like huge, huge companies, it's so different. And like, no one does it, like the same. So there's no like way to do it. So that I'm trying to get my point across, but I'm trying to visualize at the same time. Like, enterprises don't have it right either.
So, let me ask this. I want to make sure I'm getting where you're going with it. It's this whole concept of best practices, right? Are people doing the best practice? And in my world, I have actually succeeded to a very large degree in my shop of forbidding the phrase best practices. we actually will point and laugh at salespeople who say that in meetings with us. Mm-hmm. We talk about good practices, right? Because okay. What's best for me as a not-for-profit multi-hospital healthcare provider is probably significantly different than what is best for the you know, one of the other companies here in Atlanta where people wear a lot of orange aprons and sell a lot of nails and screws.
Right.
So
right, but
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Man.
So let's say that you had you are where you are and that the only point of contact you have or the only company that you've ever heard of as a provider is Symantec. Let's just, I know, wipe your brain for a second there. You're going to go with all their stuff because you're going to take in what they sell, right? As a CESO, CIO, whatever. You might shop around, but you know that brand.
Right.
What if there was a list somewhere that said, hey, you want HIDs? Then there's these all big providers that you can go with, or this free version that's actually better.
Yeah. So are you kind of, and you know, I'm trying to kind of capture what you're thinking so we can maybe, you know, dive down deeper into it. Is it, are you maybe suggesting creating something like, Magic Quadrants for open source software?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not, if I'm following along here, you're not talking about just open source. What you want to do is include open source in the conversation, because while having a tool like that to help my environment could be beneficial financially, maybe I do need the Symantec, but I need to have the information in front of me to make that choice, to make an informed decision rather than going off what I see in the news or what I have from conversations with other people. It's like what Martin says, what worked good for the guy next door is not necessarily in my favor. Totally. That where you okay.
Yeah, so so let's go a different way with this. Let's go two-factor authentication, right? So there's a bunch of two-factor auth all over the place, right? But you take an example like PayPal. PayPal's two-factor authentication is horrid. Like, you actually have to authenticate, then it says you need more details, then authenticate again, and then it asks you to put in the SMS, and then you get forwarded to, like, a eBay page, and then back to the actual PayPal. Like, it's horrid. So what about, like having a part of that, you know, documentation, like just the Visio diagram of suggested vendors for, like, better two-factor auth, or not just better, like, all the different options in two-factor auth. And then, I don't know, it's just really frustrating, and I'm trying to get the idea down, but it's really frustrating that I can't say, hey, new company, these are the things that you should go for at your level. Bam. And here's a bunch of vendors that you can think about.
And conceptually, the idea really appeals to me. In my head, I'm almost thinking of it as sort of the information security for dummies book, but it's geared toward small business owners, medium-sized business owners, people who have to, and I think they are growing increasingly worried about what's going on, to show them what all their options are. Because, you know, based on conversations I've had with people who, like I said, you know, own a pizza place or own a convenience store, the way the information is presented to folks at that market level right now is so overwhelming, they don't waste their time on it.
Right.
My friend would rather spend more time figuring out how to get more efficient pizza ovens than making sure his point of sale system is secure. But in all the way, the point of sale system has been sold to him as being, you know, they didn't say hacker proof, but they may as well, right?
Yep, exactly.
And he doesn't know any better. He makes a heck of a pizza, but he doesn't know point of sale.
Right. So what's that all in one solution? You know, it might be security onion, but he's going to get a lot of data that he's never going to know what to do with. It might be a managed service, which might actually be the better solution for him. Like there's a bunch of consultants out there, but the problem with consultants is there are so many different levels of consultants, like their knowledge level and what, you know, it's the same problem, right? So you have maybe a consultant that only knows semantic and has a really good contact in semantic. So they're going to hook up their semantic buddy, right? And they're going to say, hey, this is the best product for you. So I just want a way for maybe a quick reference for a business owner to look at. And this is just spitballing ideas. This is not, you know, a full-fledged project.
This is thinking out loud. Got it.
Yes.
Thinking out loud, then I think the first thing we need to do is to find the problem so that the small business owner actually knows where they fit in the equation. If you have XY resources and you do XY business and you're in XY market space, this is the type of stuff that applies to you. Nothing else, just this. Now, when you have to deal with this, you need the following, and then you get your guide and your, you know, practical examples, like, you know, your PayPal thing.
Choose your own adventure for business owners.
Almost, yeah. So that they would be able to start with that information from the get-go. Because a lot of them, you know, I'll use a actual example from my mother. When you own a bakery, there are a lot of things that apply to you, but a million things that you see in the news and that consultants are going to talk to you about that don't.
Right.
You know, for her, she needs to worry about fires and insurance and credit card security, you know, basic financial liabilities and protections. She doesn't need to worry about protecting her email or spam because she rarely touches that computer.
Oh, she totally needs threat intelligence.
Well, because I have heard it from several authoritative Twitter accounts that nation states are after her. The Chinese are in her stuff, dude.
But looking at a guy like that, right, she would understand some of that, but if, you know, like, hey, you deal with credit cards, this is where you want to start, right, or you're a baker here.
Yeah. And I think the idea of So I think the idea of choose your own adventure, man, I'm flashing back to those fantastic books when I was a kid, is I think one of the first questions is, what vertical are you in? Right. So I deal with a lot of small, one and two practitioner healthcare providers. It's really the folks who are really holding out on joining larger systems. And the problems that these smaller healthcare providers have, or rural healthcare providers have, are their real problems. They're driven to a large degree by compliance requirements, but the threats they're facing have evolved and have changed. I also talk to folks who own retail establishments. And that's a different world. The stuff that, you know, that my friend who owns the pizza shop worries about is his point of sale system, his inventory control system. Can he track payroll? Can he track, you know, his employees clocking in, clocking out, and do the required governmental reports and process credit cards? That's his thing. Healthcare right. providers, you've got your, you know, either the paper, you know, medical records or the EMR. You got billing going on. So, I mean, I think to your point, Rob, that maybe we find, you know, whoever would do this, we need to find some commonalities, but at the same time recognize there's different flavors of businesses, and that some are going to be mixtures of both. You know, one of the things that, you know, when I was in the commercial aviation sector, I would try to explain how commercial aviation felt from a information security perspective. And one of the things that it dawned on me after spending time there was, you know, in the commercial aviation sector, you've got a part of the business that feels like call center retail. You're selling a whole lot of airplane tickets and you're processing a boatload of credit card stuff. You're also a lot like a manufacturer because you've got to protect intellectual property. There's the inventory for parts around the aircraft. You also function a lot like a hospital because of the way pilot, you know, health data is maintained. You've got a lot of protected health information. So you've got, I think, if you're going to do this open source security architecture, choose your own adventure thing, you'd have to educate people on what the different flavors of business look like. And then they'd have to ask themselves, does this apply to me? If so, turn to page 188 and read further.
Right. But I don't think we need to get that deep with it. Right. So, while every business, so that's where I think PCI went wrong, actually. Every business is different in a lot of ways, right? 99.9% of businesses out there, this is a factual, you know, made up, true statement of fact. that all of the businesses are different, but they all connect to the internet through an ISP. They all have routers or switches or network gear, right? They, some of them have IDSs that need them and some of them have IDSs that don't need them, but they all have basics, right? So, I think that the architecture document, should start with, you know, here are the basic, you know, fundamental things that you need, as any business. Now, if you're multi, you know, office business, then you need the multi-office connections, and these are some of the ways to do that. But I don't think it should go as deep as here's, you know, this is the encryption tool that you need for your EMR data.
Well, we may not say, so I don't necessarily say that, but I think there's, yes, I see where you're going. I think we're saying the same thing, maybe a little bit differently, because even within the medical space, right, there are things that a one or two practitioner medical shop is going to need in today's day and age. Like they're going to need to be able to encrypt DVDs they give patients with medical records on them or imagery on them. That's required under law. They have to be able to do that. The oil changing shop, probably not so much. So I think there's within certain business types, there's different additional requirements they may have. That may not exist in others. And I think at a high level, you want to capture, I would think maybe two or three flavors of business. Just to make sure that you cover the high points of what's common to that group.
Right.
And I think, you know, if you broke it down to more than like a half dozen flavors, it's getting way too specific. You know, you'd have to come up, you know, figure out, you know, where those divisions make the most sense, and also have people realize your particular business may be a blend of two or more of these.
Right. Yeah, it's mostly just to get their, you know, the information out there. And I think the most important piece is it's not going to be a buy your way in, right? It's an open source document that is going to say, here's a bunch of vendors and here's a bunch of tools that might do the job correctly. And then maybe some links off to the vendor sites or some how to's on the open source side. And then, you know, leave it up to the business to implement or not implement certain things. But, it just felt like just to pull us all back into this, the idea, original idea was like, I just have a big problem. The fact that the information sharing as far as threat intel is getting better and better every day. But like no one wants to share their secret sauce on how they built their network. Unless they buy the network guy from the other company that did it well. And like hardening guides. Why is there 5 million ways to hack a system posted to every blog post on the internet, but it takes, you know, hours upon hours to find a single hardening guide outside of NIST and the CIS or the other place?
I think some of that's light. We actually were talking about this just a little bit ago as we recorded episode 153. And I think part of that's liability. We talked a little bit about the executive order that President Obama just signed, trying to make it easier, for federal agencies to share with, private enterprises. The challenge though is that if I as an enterprise share something with the feds, a conniving journalist like Steve could file a FOIA request and get that information and then it could be used against me. And I think until Congress and the president can work together to solve that problem, it's going to be hard for people to share.
Even hardening guides, even architectural guides, like,
well, anything could be a liability, because if I know that Company X shared a hardening guide for a data warehouse platform, and their hardening guide led to a systematic vulnerability that allowed external influences to not just compromise that particular warehouse, but other things attached to it, because they put that information in public and somebody else copied it and did what they did, their name's attached to it. So if they got hacked too, well, I did what so-and-so told me. While it might not get anywhere, they would still be able to make a case out of it and bring all kinds of attention to it.
And also,
even if they didn't lose, it would still be embarrassing. Right. I see Martin's point on that. Well,
there's also an OPSEC issue, right? I don't know if I necessarily want to be the CISO of a healthcare provider that stands up and says, this is how I harden my firewall.
Yeah, I see that point. But
I wouldn't mind participating in a group where essentially my input is anonymized a bit.
That's what I was going to ask. What if we anonymize the input?
If we did that, right, and it would potentially make the input a little bit less authoritative, but – there's a concern I have that if all of a sudden I stick my head out of the trench and say, this is how I do something, let's face it, there are lots of people out there who then take that as a challenge. And
yeah, agreed.
Nobody wants that. But I think there is a common good to us collectively sharing good practices, right? And I think I know I would be willing to participate in something that said, how do you, as a fairly large enterprise, how do you create a resilient infrastructure? How do you create a robust infrastructure? And I'd be willing to collaborate with something like that, and have my name on it, but obviously not say, my hospital does these 22 things.
Right.
Well, what if it was even simpler than that? When it comes to your healthcare data, what firewall rules are most important to you? Seriously, if you had to pick, like, above all else, these 10 firewall rules should always be in place. What are they? How many companies don't know that?
Well, number one is always, deny all, right?
Yep.
First, you would think, but I see any more than anything else.
I know any needs to die in a fire. We all know that, but it never will. But I think, Rob, your point's a huge one, and it's something that as I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm going, wow, that would be hugely, because the potential would be hugely impactful. So,
I mean, we can't complain about security not getting better. If as defenders, right? I'm an internal team where I work. We can't complain as defenders of businesses that security is not getting better if we are not collaborating to make it better.
So, challenge accepted. What do you want to do next? And how do we engage people in our listening audience? And we have a lot. I mean, our audience is made predominantly, anecdotally, as far as I can tell, of defenders. Mm-hmm. What do we do next, Rob?
So what I want to do is I want to create just a mailing list just to start things off and have people sign up with their Gmail, Yahoo accounts, not business related, so that, you know, it's just anonymized in that sense, as much as I can with a mailing list, right? And then start collaborating on things and sort of work towards a PTES type, you know, like layout, like a mind map initially, and then start making that start making those Visio diagrams and make it into something like diagram or dia.gram or whatever, something really easy to, you know, share, update, and add permissions and do like that. And then actually make something, you know, a little viable so someone can look at it and then see where it goes. Like, that's kind of where I'm going with this.
Well, I think that's an awesome idea. And as much as I'm able to, I'm in. There are things I can and can't do because of the role I'm in. But right. Definitely, I believe that there is a public good in play here. And I will definitely encourage everyone to do that. So, Rob, once you've got the details of how you want people to engage, unless you've got them right now.
I will post it to room362.com, my blog. I'm creating the group as we speak slowly. So give me a bit and I'll shoot it over to you for this episode.
Sure. So and we'll include that in the show notes for this particular show. And one other thing, Rob, I know I owe you and probably some other folks an explanation on this. Was probably, it was a while back we talked about when I talked with Dave Shackelford about FixitCon, this idea of a defender oriented conference. And it's something I'd strongly believe in. However, as I've lamented a couple times on social media, I have this habit of agreeing to do things when I really shouldn't.
Join the club. Guess what I just did?
Oh, I know. Because just the whole thing that I think that's what I love about this community is we have people who want to do the right thing and are willing to stretch and do it. So, one of the things I'm wondering, and you and I probably need to talk offline, is maybe we take this idea of FixitCon and you and me and Shaq talk about it maybe being a kickoff point for exactly this kind of project.
Yeah, totally. And, DerbyCon, I believe, was the kickoff of PTES, right? So maybe we get, you know, together at DerbyCon if you guys are going this year and talk about it and maybe have a big group of people there and see what we can do about making this document.
I think it's a fantastic idea. So again, everybody, if this sort of project, even just watching it from the outside and just the occasional kibitz, is interesting to you, get over to Rob's blog after you listen to this. There'll be some information on how to join the mailing list. Join the conversation, and if you can commit to helping out, it's the right thing to do, and you know you want to.
So one thing that I just want to close with is that I'd really love to see educators as well as security architects and CISOs in that. Like, I want to see people from organizations like that teach security architecture to come into this group and talk about, you know, their sides. They don't have that liability. They can talk about all of the things that they teach, right? So getting people like that in as well would be great. So if you know a professor or a teacher that does, you know, teach building out security stuff or even, you know, network stuff, please let them know about this group and get them involved.
Absolutely. So, Andy Green, I know you listen to this. I will be coming to talk to you. So, Rob, thanks for joining us tonight. You're always welcome back. And we'll probably want to, once we get this thing rolling, there's an update for everybody. We'll have you come back on. We'll talk about it. And, dude, thanks so much for making time for us tonight.
Oh man, thanks for having me and thanks for letting me, spitball this with you guys. I really appreciate it and love the input.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
So there you have our fantastic conversation with Rob Fuller. There will be a link to a Google group if you're interested in participating more in the open source architecture project. Definitely follow Rob on the Twitters. He is at Mubix. And real briefly, B-Sides Atlanta is on March 14th. CFP just closed. We should be announcing who the speakers are. The tickets are sold out. However, as people are canceling their Eventbrite, the tickets are becoming available. So keep checking in. And also some of our sponsors will be announcing, tickets that they've got that they're going to be giving away. And besides Las Vegas, first round CFP is open, just now. So as you're listening to this, it should be available. If you've got a great talk in mind, give that a thought. Besides, in any location is only as good as those people who are willing to step up and provide the talks. So on behalf of the rest of the crew here at the Southern Fried Security Podcast, have a great evening, and we'll talk to you again soon.